So I'm looking around. I always like to look around and get a viewpoint. Midweek, you can tell. Some come in, man, we're tired. We're like, oh, already. But bless God. I see a lot of faces tonight that have a little bit of a glow to them. Bless God. Turn, if you would. We're going to be reading from Chronicles tonight. It will be our main passage. And this is a passage that I had read a long, long time ago, and the Lord reminded me of it. And I love this passage because there's so many simplistic, foundational, basic things that come out of this passage that I think are good for us to hear tonight. And after going through this, we're then going to go somewhere, Lord willing, if we can get there at the end of this time, and you'll see where the Lord, what the Lord put in my heart. Perhaps the most powerful thing of all that the Lord really strongly impressed upon me for us tonight. So in Chronicles, we see the children, the sons of Israel. How many are in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20? How many are even vaguely familiar with this passage by a show of hands? Not many. So this is going to be a good, Brother Rob, this will be a good word tonight that you haven't heard. So here is what's happening. Let me give you just a little bit of the background of what's going on. The children of Israel are gathered together, and the enemies, several have gathered against them. And they've all conspired together. And they see them, they're coming. And the enemies are coming. And really, it's an impossible situation in the natural for them. There's several armies. And so I named this kind of one the bad report. This is the bad report stage. This is the devastating. And so this is at the point where every man and child in that place begins to understand that literally we're going to die. We're going to be wiped out because the enemy's coming. Now, I want to read a little bit of this. I was going to have Norma read this, but you want to read, sweetheart? Okay, so a little bit of the background is that the enemies were seen in and the report was given, and if you'll pick up in verse 12, you'll see it begins. That's where I think a good place to start. Verse 12, 2 Chronicles 20. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones and their wives and their children, they all stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. You all got to help me because some of these names. The son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the congregation. He said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon this man. And he said, Sister Angela, listen. I had to chuckle when we were in prayer of all the things that came out in prayer that was in this word that just came tonight. But he said, listen. All you of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You have to forgive me if I'm not getting these names right. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself. There's a second key word. And stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. This is what we heard at the river. The word from Joshua was, be not dismayed, fear not, be of good courage, be strong, go forward in my power and my strength, for everywhere you put your foot, I will give you that land. That's the word, the main word, along with the power. We heard forgiveness. We heard from Revelation. There were several things that we heard that night. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. than the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a voice loud and high. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. You tell me. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army, and they were saying, take note of this, "Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever." Key thing that they sang about, the mercy of God, as we're going to see. Now, when they began to sing, say, "When they began to sing." And to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And so as we begin to read this down, read down through here, we're going to look at a few of these things that are so simplistically powerful. And the first one is, listen. Because the word of God came to them. And you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And sometimes through the pressing, as we've learned, the oil, the anointing, the Goliaths brought out certain things in certain people. Could you imagine being among the people and hearing that report and seeing this multitude of an army coming against you? The temptation to fear, to put your eyes on the circumstance. And yet, the Spirit of God raised up a man and he spoke forth a word. And so, the first word here is, he said to them, "Listen. Listen, all of you of Judah. The Lord says to you, do not be afraid." And the Lord is saying to us tonight, thus says the Lord to you. Many voices all around us. Many voices everywhere speaking. Many things happening all around us. Many offenses, many quarrels, much strife, peoples going, coming. Many things arrayed against the kingdom of God. And yet, in the midst of this, the prophet, the man of God, says, listen to what the Lord is saying. Every one of the letters in Revelation says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I asked you tonight, are you listening to heaven? I asked you tonight, are you tuned in to the frequency of heaven tonight? I asked you tonight, how are you listening? What are you listening to? Be careful how you hear. What are you hearing? What is the report that's come that you're adhering to? What is it that you've set yourself on to hear and see what's going on around you that has perhaps been a bad report to you? Listen. He told him, don't be afraid or be dismayed. I've been praying lately. Lord, let your voice be the loudest voice that I hear. Lord, let your voice be the loudest voice that I hear amongst all the voices. Father, teach me to listen and discern your voice, that I will hear your voice, and that I will set your voice as a priority in my life, that I will even strain to hear, thus says the Lord, what he has decreed, what he has declared over me, what he is speaking over me. Verse 16, he said, surely the enemy's coming. He's coming. Surely the enemy is still coming. The enemy of your soul is still coming. But he says the battle's not yours. And you need to hear that tonight. We need to hear that. Get that in your spirit. The battle is not ours. And when we try to take the battle on, we're going to have problems. So he tells them, the battle's not yours. You will not have to fight this battle. Did you hear me? So verse 17, he says, position yourself. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. You will not have to fight this battle. Be still and know that I'm God. How do you position yourself? How do you position yourself, Brother John? You position yourself in prayer. I want to encourage you. I'm exhorting you tonight as a word of exhortation. If you can, come to the house to pray. If you can, get here to pray for God's people. If you can, get here and join with God's people. Keep it a priority, a high priority in your life. Remember, you never know when the angel of the Lord will come and stir up the water. It just might be the night that you're not here. That you could have been here, but you weren't here. That God does something powerful. I've had that happen to me. And I've experienced that myself. Position yourself. I want to mention something. You know, Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man who does not walk or stand in the counsel of the ungodly or sit in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in which he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season and does his leaf does not wither. And I want to tell you something that I was preparing this and spent the whole day. Pastor just told me about this Monday, and I had a couple days to think on this, and then today I took off work and just shut myself in a room. And one of the things that the Spirit of God in my heart, Sister Angela, today was like, some of us are going to have to be vulnerable. In this positioning, we're going to have to become vulnerable, Brother Andrew. Because sometimes we struggle along with things and we're very isolated. And sometimes we need to be vulnerable. And I want to encourage you, one of the ways you can position yourself is, women, get a hold of another godly woman that God puts on your heart and be vulnerable and come and link up and say, I've said to Brian and Angela, I've said to them before, I need prayer. I need prayer. Pray for me. I've said to Pastor and Godly Pastor, I need prayer. I'm struggling with some things. Pray for me. And so the word is, maybe just positioning yourself is becoming a little vulnerable instead of struggling along with some things, simply going to someone. There are several people in this fellowship that you can go to and that you can link up with. Oh my gosh, there's people all around that you can just get a little bit vulnerable and say, hey, look, Brother Brian, I need prayer. And I'm asking you to pray with me. Because there's something that happens with that fellowship, with that intimacy, with that confession, with that praying for another, with that the power of one sets 10,000, two sets 10,000. There's that power of the Holy Spirit of coming and positioning yourself. Proverbs says, keep the word before your eyes. Proverbs says, keep the word in your ear. Proverbs says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your heart. Brother John came from New York. He talked about putting a watchman. He talked about putting a guard with deadly force there where it needs to be as a position. The next thing we see is verse 18. Stay low. There's a reason why we're mentioning these tonight, because I believe the Spirit of God is encouraging us. And this is what he did. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. He got low. Remember Moses when they brought accusation against him, and he said he hit the ground and got low. Do you know that I had a brother in the Lord? His name is Adi, Brother Adi from a Calvary church. I was working at the church doing some work. Sister Chris over on the children youth room putting all the stuff in. And Brother Adi, you gotta love Brother Adi. He comes walking here. He says, Brother Brett, he said, I had a dream. He said, and you and me were in a dream. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, here we go. Because you know when, to me it's like when the prophet Samuel came and spoke, they all, whoa, you know, because Brother Adi, and he came and he said, I had a dream, brother. And he said, we were in it. He says, I don't understand it all the way, but I'm going to tell you what happened. He said, we were in an airport. There was a bunch of people around. It was all glass. He said, and we were in that airport together, and you and I were standing still. And he said, all of a sudden, a storm came. He said, it wasn't like the storm that you would think. It was a different kind of storm. He said, and it came. And he said, all I know was you and me had to get down low and stay low. Because if we didn't, we were going to be wiped out. So he told me that dream, and then he walked away and said, I really don't know any more than that. He said, you know, and so I said, well, Brother Adi shared that for a reason. So I kind of prayed about it, talked with the Lord a little bit, and then the Lord led me to Moses, where he had people coming and accusing and falsely and coming against the authority in which God placed him in. And it says that Moses fell low. And this is what Jehoshaphat did. He bowed down and fell low. And so, the word is, stay humble as you can. Don't fall short of the grace of God. Don't take these things into your own hands. Moses fell down low. Jehoshaphat fell down low. Great offense everywhere. Keep yourself in the love of God. Only the meek heart can receive the word implanted. The implication is when we are prideful and we become offended and angry, the word of God cannot come into that heart unless it's meek. Remember what James said, what Pastor told us. The word in meekness, the word is implanted and is able to save your soul. Stay low. My beautiful bride, Norma, we're staying low before the Lord. Stay down low. I want to encourage you tonight. Stay low. So that you can be in a position where God can speak to you and you will be listening and you are positioned in humility. And then, as Pastor Mayanje says, we pray and we fast for the land. We ask where God wants us to go. He tells us and we go with no apologies. And God gives us the land. Not quite like that, but Pastor Steve Mayanje, you got to love him and his fervor and his passion. So, we see, listen. What are you listening to? What are you hearing? What's running through the chambers of your soul every day? Are you meditating on the promises? Are you adhering to what he's decreeing and declaring over you? Or are you dealing out of your soulish realm like Jonah with weeds wrapped around his head? He had things in there. Been there. Fell into that. God's bringing me out. There's something coming up on the inside. It's the Spirit of the living God. And he brings us up out. And by his grace and his mercy, he helps us so we can get back to where we're supposed to be. We can start listening again, hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. We can position ourselves before him. And he will show us how to stay low, Sister Rhonda, but also how to rise up, the righteous or bold as a lion. And there's a beautiful balance there. And I know a lot of people don't like that word, but there is a balance. I was at a house working, and there was two ladies mentally challenged with their brother living at a house, and beautiful, beautiful women, believers, and just right out of the blue, one comes up and hands me a picture. She says, I just felt led to give this to you. And I said, thank you so much. And I looked at it, and it was a picture of an angel with a set of scales in his hand. And the scales were off tilted. So I said, "Oh, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to know?" And I took it to heart, and I prayed, and I said, "Lord, put it out in my shed where I go every morning, and I just put it there as a reminder that someone gave me something. Remember, God can talk through a donkey. He will talk through people around you all the time." So I asked the Lord, "What is it?" And the Lord, he said, "This is what I wanted to remind you. In the measure in which you hold others accountable, in the standard that you set for others, watch out. It'll be measured back to you the same way. For mercy triumphs over judgment." And James, I might as well read it right now, because this is where, in all that time, this is what the Holy Spirit, it's in James, and it's in chapter 1, I believe, and it says this. Jesus. Chapter 1, 12 and 13. "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." So there's something here for us in this, because you see, a lot of times with the culture, what's happening, we're getting to the nuts and bolts. With the culture that's happening, there's so much offense and stuff going on all around us with different things that we can actually get and want justice and judgment, just like Jonah. He was more upset about that plant that God grew up to give him shade, and then God put a worm there and killed it the very next day. And he was more upset about that plant, his shade being taken away, than he was the souls of all of the Ninevites. Just something to think about. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Stay low. Did I say one? My bad, guys. It's 2:13, Sister Angela says. And so thank you, Father, for that. It is 2:13. Oh, there's so much good stuff there. So what did we go? We went from listening to positioning ourselves to hearing the Lord say, "The battle's not yours, it's mine. You don't have to fight this battle." We went to stay low, get down low before the Lord, stay humble. And now we go to verse 20, believe. He says, "And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper.'" Romans 9, 10, and 10. "If thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes." Here's the point. Could you imagine the armies coming in the physical picture of seeing the multitude of the armies coming toward them, and then hearing the word of the Lord and having to choose whether you're going to respond in the flesh, Sister Chris, of the giants and the army that's going to come, or to adhere to the word of God and get it and listen to it and grab it and apply it and believe. For with the heart, man believes. Why did I say that? Because the soul is what Adam and Eve started dealing more out of their soul than their spirit. At one time, see, they started logic, reason, soulish realm. And I'm going to encourage you tonight that faith comes out of our spirit. And that your spirit is born again with the incorruptible word of God. Therefore, the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came down, Sister Mary, and then the Spirit of God would leave. That's why David said, "Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, do not take thy Holy Spirit from me." Because the Holy Spirit would come and go in the Old Testament. But guess what? He is with us. He is in us. He will never leave us, forsake us. He is here. We are born again of the incorruptible word of God. The Spirit of the living God will quicken our mortal body and make us alive. He's with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And he said, if thou shalt confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes. So, what do you believe in tonight? The word of God will come and rightly divide out the things of your spirit and the things of your soul. We have to have the word of God because he is alive and active. And Sister Rhonda, he will divide out the things that are of our soul and the things that are of our spirit, that are in God, wrought in God. The victim mentality. Oh me, oh my. Oh, if anything can go wrong, it's going to go wrong with me. I was talking to a lady the other day on the phone because she had some work in her house. She called me on the phone. She says, I'm cursed. I'm cursed, she said. I feel like I'm cursed. I said, you're not cursed. You're not cursed, sister. She's sister. I said, you're not cursed, sister. Don't say that. When I got over there, we had a nice time together, and I was able to be with and just encourage her in the Lord. And just she actually got encouraged in the Lord by simply hearing someone come alongside of her and wash her with the word and encourage her and exhort her and remind her, you're not cursed. You're blessed. You're blessed of the Lord. And the power of your mouth really does have power because the Lord made it that way. So as a man thinketh in himself, so he is. So what has God declared over you? What is he decreeing over you? What is he saying about me? What about the bad report, Brother Andrew? And we all get bad reports sometimes. Many of you in this room have had bad reports within the last year. And even recently, you've had some bad things happen. This is a word of exhortation to you tonight. To believe Abraham called things as though they were when they were not. That's not flaky. The just shall live by faith. Don't shrink back. You have need of endurance. Once you've done the will of God, you'll receive what was promised, the scripture tells us. The victim mentality. The oh me, oh my. If it can happen bad, it'll happen to me. So we got to get out of that. Amen. And we got to start adhering to what, look, the word of the Lord came to them. What is the word of God saying to you? I'm going to tell you, I'm very encouraged with our fellowship right now. There has been a lot of encouragement coming out of this house. There has been people that are genuine, authentic, that love God, and they're regular builder-uppers. They are building one another up. I come in here, sometimes I come in here, I'm down even a little bit. If there's occasionally, and I come in here and I hear sisters, brothers, prayer time, worship, the word, and I get encouraged. I want to encourage you, get encouraged in the Lord. I want to encourage you, listen, stay positioned, stay low, start believing the promises of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. What does amen mean? So be it. All right, so look, we're going to, now watch this. A powerful thing happens here because the worship singers were appointed. And you know what they sent out ahead of the army? You know what they sent out ahead of the army, before the army? The worshipers! They sent out Judah ahead of the army, ahead of the thing. This really, really speaks to me because, Brother John, it reminds me that we have to send Judah out ahead, the joy, the praise. We have to excel. It's not the letter of the law. It's a word of exhortation to remind you that, look, they sent and appointed worshipers and sent them out ahead. By the way, your daughters are a blessing to this worship team. Hallelujah. I'm just saying that right now. They sent out the worshipers. Those that, what did they do? They lifted up their voices high, verse 19, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. In other words, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. They went out shouting and praising and loudly exhorting and just exalting the name of the Lord. And they went out singing about the mercy of God. Mercy means you deserve judgment, but judgment is withheld. I want to remind you that the mercy seat where Moses, God said, I'll speak to you from above the mercy seat. The mercy seat was that place over the Ark of the Covenant where the letter of the law, the command was inside. And remember, cursed is he who does not keep the whole law. So the law was inside the Ark of the Covenant, but the mercy seat was on top, Brother Brian. And where do you think the blood was applied? On the mercy seat. And where do you think Jesus took his blood into the heavenlies and what he's done? Hebrews tells us there's always a replica on the earth of what's in heaven. I believe Jesus went into heaven. Brother Cole, I believe Jesus went into heaven and took his blood and put it on the mercy seat of God. Amen. And now God speaks to us. He said, I'll speak to Moses from above the mercy seat. God speaks to us from above the mercy seat. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. They sung about the mercies of the Lord. They went forth and proclaimed the mercies of God. They appointed worshipers. Notice they went out before the army, send Judah joy out ahead. Notice verse 22, when they began to sing to God, this is important, just get this in your spirit. When they began to worship God, God set the ambush against their enemies. Oh, come on, that's good news. Did you hear what I said? When they began to worship the Lord set ambushes against their enemy.
Amen. Come on.
I think, Father, we need to get something in our spirit about this worship and praise and the power of exalting his name, Father, that we would actually realize that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he owns it all and he made it all. And his is the kingdom and the dominion and the power forever. Lord, help me to get that. It's one of the things when I went through with Daniel that he reminded me. He said, look, until you know that he puts who he wants in positions of authority, and he is dominion and power in everything. Yeah. And promotion comes from the Lord.
Amen.
The thing is, are we willing to go into the field like Ruth and glean the fields with no agenda and just love him and wait on him and serve him? Whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord with no agenda. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I've had some agenda in my heart, and I've been wounded because I didn't see those agendas come about. But God's helped me to repent of that. I said, I've had some offense in my heart, and God's helped me, and he's washing it out as I listen and position myself and stay low and begin to adhere and believe what he says and apply it and take it, what he's declared, decreed over me, actually let that be in my mind. Let your mind be renewed, transformed by the renewing of the word. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It's God's promise. So the worshipers were sent out. Powerful thing. Notice verse 24, when they came, they looked out over the enemy, and what did they find? The enemy was completely wiped out. One enemy turned on the other enemy, and then the remaining, and then the other one turned on itself, and it says there was not one left. God literally wiped the enemy right out. Verse 25, 3 days they were gathering the spoil. Verse 27, they returned. Oh, I love this part, Angela. I don't know why, but I think Angela so much. Maybe because Sister Angela is leading prayer for us a lot of times, and she brings these points that are so awesome for us to think about and for us to press in on and pray about. And it says here, they went into the house of God. First of all, verse 27, they returned to Jerusalem with what? With joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And then verse 28, they went into the house of God rejoicing. And then verse 29, there was the fear of the Lord all around all the surrounding kingdoms that were near them. In other words, the fear of God the reverence and awe and the fear of God was upon the peoples from what he had done. Verse 30, and Pastor Rob prayed this at the very end of the prayer as I'm sitting beside him. He prayed these very words, and in the realm of Jehoshaphat, it was quiet and restful. In other words, they were about ready to get wiped out. But God fought the battle. And in the end, they had joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And they were quiet. It was quiet. And it was restful. In the domain of King Jehoshaphat, he had peace. So what did they sing about in verse 21? They sang about the mercies of the Lord. And that's what was in my heart tonight. So please hear me, because we're going to literally close the service in a couple minutes. This is when waiting upon the Lord and asking him. I actually, when Rob first told me, it was like a brief prayer, and I heard mercy. It's like Holy Spirit, just like right away, mercy. And I said, okay, Lord, mercy. Because, listen to me now, because this is something Norm and I have gone through, and God's bringing us through. Some of you have prayed, some of you didn't even know it and sent us messages, not even knowing what you're saying, not even knowing the words that you were speaking over us. Sister Ron is one of them. Sister Ron has had a dream. Called me and said, I had a dream and I woke up and I'm praying for you and this is what the Lord told me to tell you. Not even knowing maybe what was going on. But when offense comes, and I'm going to close with this. This is probably the most powerful thing I'm going to say to you tonight. When offense comes and we get in a place where we start getting bitterness down in our heart and anger and resentful, and we're dealing with things that we don't know how to deal with, and we just get tired of dealing with it, and we actually are harassed by certain things, we can get offended and wounded deep down inside. And we actually can become kind of like Jonah in that he really wanted justice and judgment to come to the Ninevites. And all over our land, please hear what I'm saying, because there's so many. There's the woman who with the unjust judge. She went before the unjust judge, Luke 18, if you want the context, and she persistently asked the unjust judge to judge this and make this right. I want justice, make this right. And it says, the judge said, lest she wear me out, I'm gonna give her what she wants. And then, but if you'll read that context, it actually sounds like a good thing that she persisted. But as you begin to read that passage, Luke, you begin to understand a few things the Lord says. And then you begin to see the very next parable. The two men went to pray. And the one man said, I thank you that I'm not like him. I tithe, I do this, I go to church all the time. But it says the other one was unwilling, Sister Annette, to even raise his head before God. I'm not even worthy. I think it's very interesting that the Lord put those two parables side by side. One, the woman who demanded justice and got it. And the other one who actually said, I thank you that I'm not like them. And why I'm saying that is simply this. I believe that in our land and in our culture, what's happening right now, and if you're not aware of it, I would simply say to you, I don't know how. Because really, it's all around us and it's even crept into the church. Spirits of offense, spirits of wounded, division, strife, people being aggravated and upset with their relatives, families being torn apart. Remember he said, it's inevitable that offense comes, but one to him it brings it. It's one thing to have your own junk, but it's another thing to bring your junk to other people. And he said that in the last days, offense will go wild and agape will grow wax cold. And then he says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God, because there's going to be offense all around you, and it's going to be, and I believe it's going to, I'm not prophetically speaking, I'm just saying, Paul said, in the last days, things will go from worse, from bad to worse. And so there's offense everywhere. So, having said all that, I closed with that for a reason, because I want to take just a couple minutes and pray. And because I really believe that many times, please hear me, the reason why we're having problems listening, positioning ourselves, staying low, believing what God actually has said and decreed and declared over us, and entering into a place of worship where we actually are enjoying the presence of God to the point that we actually enjoy our walk with Christ, and it's a joy, is simply maybe because we've had things in our temples that are not supposed to be there. And there's been offense. And there's been demanding justice. But remember, mercy triumphs over justice and judgment. Brother Brett, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And mercy triumphs. Blessed is the merciful, for he shall receive mercy. So we want to be a people of mercy. Amen. How do we do that? We keep ourselves in the love of God. We stay positioned. We keep listening to hear what Jesus is saying. We let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Keep yourself in the love of God. He said, I'm far more convinced of much, much better for you, is what he said. That you would walk in love and keep yourself in love and pray in the Spirit and get girded up inside and stay from being defiled from unforgiveness and bitterness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, will you stand with me? We're going to pray, and then we're actually, Angela has something to say to you right after we're done praying. And this is something that it's just between you and the Lord. Sometimes a word of exhortation comes forth. It's not always peaches and cream. Sometimes we don't understand why we're struggling the way we are and we're having a hard time. It's because maybe there's some things in us that we need to simply just let Jesus take away. So lift your hands if you would, if you feel led before the Lord, and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you, if there's anything, Father, that you put your finger on that I need to repent of, that you would forgive me for allowing things to be in my temple that have not honored you. I pray that you forgive me, Lord, and wash me clean. And I pray, Lord, for the grace to come to help me, that I would actually want mercy instead of justice and judgment on anybody. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will come and sweep through this place, even in the couple minutes that we have remaining. I pray that the word that was sown tonight will begin something new in every heart in this room, and we will find ourselves free from the defilement of unforgiveness and bitterness and offense. And I pray that the Spirit of the living God will raise us up, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength, and we no longer will judge men according to the law or the letter of the law, but we will look at every person through the law of liberty and freedom. And I pray, Lord, forgive me and wash me clean of anything. And these tough situations, God, that we found ourselves in when we're dealing with people that are literally pursuing us from cave to cave, that your grace, that you would remind us how David said, I would not raise my hand against another, and especially against God's anointed. Even though the anointing of God had left King Saul, Father, he was still the king, and David still honored the position.
Yes, that's right.
So, Lord, forgive me, wash me, do not let mine enemies triumph over me, May there be no open doors for harassment from the enemy of my soul. Lord, let the joy of the Lord be my strength. And oh God, let the mercy of God rule and reign in my heart. Let my mind be renewed by the word of the living God. And I pray that peace and joy and love and patience and meekness and gentleness and self-control will be our portion from your precious Holy Spirit and the fruit thereof. And now we ask these things. We commit it to you. Holy Spirit, you know what we need to do and you know how to deal with us. You are the lover of our soul and the convictor and reprover. So, Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done at the reading and the speaking. Thank you for the honor of speaking your word tonight. Thank you for the privilege of speaking to your bride. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.